Politico Brussels Playbook, presented by Banco Santander. Merkel limping, Sajid Javid interview, Ambassador Selmayr? Tyson to meet with Ryanair chief as more strikes threaten travel plans. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary will this morning meet with Employment Commissioner Marianne Tyson. The meeting was scheduled at O'Leary's request and comes after the Irish budget carrier announced 190 flight cancellations for Friday due to cabin crew and pilot strikes. According to the company, some 30,000 passengers in Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, Portugal, Italy and Germany will be affected. By Florian Eder. With Zoyashev Talovich. Presented by Banco Santander. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander. Listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. BTW, there's a battle raging between EU officials, diplomats and other inhabitants of planet Schumann about whose version of a much-whispered-about story is correct. It seems both the Secretary-General of the European External Action Service Helga Schmidt and her homologue, the Commission's Martin Selmayr, both Germans, want to become the EU's first ambassador to post-Brexit Britain. Both had their institutions' spokespeople deny they were harboring any such ambitions. But here's the kernel of truth that's firing up the rumor mill. The EU is going to expand its diplomatic mission on Brexit Day, Jacopo Barghazi reports. News update. And Twitter wept, the distracted boyfriend meme has been ruled sexist in Sweden. Späth Herbst, late fall might have begun for German Chancellor Angela Merkel, after her CDU and CSU Bundestag members rejected the man she chose to lead the parliamentary group. Volker Kauder, a close Merkel ally who has overseen the group for 13 years, lost in a secret ballot to challenger Ralf Brinkhaus. The result sent shockwaves, which made things wobble, but not yet collapse, through the German capital. France, the French center-right wants Michel Barnier to be its main man in the European election. Barnier is thinking about running to be the conservative Spitzenkandidat, said a senior official from Les Républicains, confirming that an approach has been made by the party to the EU's Brexit negotiator. News of an approach was first reported by La Pointe. The party has offered him to be the Spitzenkandidat for the EPP, the official added. Zachary Young and Maya de la Baume report. Spain, via France. Former French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has announced he wants to become the mayor of Barcelona. Diego Torres considers his chances. By defying Merkel, conservative MPs sent the chancellor the obvious signal that they are dissatisfied with her stewardship. And while Brinkhaus isn't exactly a Merkel opponent or harsh critic, the vote likely further limits Merkel's legroom, Matthew Carniching reports. Her two partners in government, the SPD and CSU, aren't proving easy to handle. Brinkhaus campaigned on the promise that he'll bring new impulses to the role and act as a bridge builder between the different factions in the group, and told ZDF that there's not much of a difference between himself and Kauder. If things go well for Merkel, the vote will have acted as a steam valve to release some of the pressure in her party and group, for now. Poland. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki reacted to the Commission's decision to refer Poland to the ECJ over its Supreme Court law, telling a press conference, "We are constantly in dialogue. But as you can see, the Commission decided to take a step that breaks this dialogue to some extent. Or maybe it breaks it off seriously. How can the Dutch, Belgians, French, or West Germans understand what communism and then post-communism were if they did not experience it? Good morning, Theresa May may know what it's like to have colleagues constantly sharpening their knives. But it's a new experience for the German Chancellor. Merkel being Merkel, she told an audience at Industry Association BDI's annual conference just a few hours before the vote about what was actually keeping her up at night. The question of whether we can maintain closed value chains is one that concerns me very, very much. Not going to make Warsaw happy either, Ukrainian human rights activist Leo Milo-Kozlovska is now in Brussels and will at 11:30 a.m. today speak in the European Parliament at an open audi session. Our man in Poland Michał Broniachowski writes in to tell us. Kozłowska was issued a long-term visa by the Belgian government after a request by Aldi chief Guy Verhofstadt and the Greens' Rebecca Harms. Kozłowska was in August expelled from the Schengen zone following a request from the Polish government. Earlier this month, she testified in the Bundestag after Germany gave her a two-week visa. A message from Banco Santander. Banco Santander is ranked third in the world among banks and first in Europe in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. Part of our commitment to sustainability includes financial inclusion, access to useful and affordable financial products, and services that meet customers' needs, delivered in a responsible and sustainable way. Find out more here. Playbook interview with Sajid Javid. Italy, Riccardo Puglisi, associate professor of economics at the University of Pavia, argues in an op-ed for Politico that it's almost impossible for the Italian populist coalition to deliver on its campaign pledges without falling foul of EU rules on public spending. Put pressure on Brussels, please. UK Home Secretary Sajid Javid was in Madrid on Tuesday and called Playbook before heading to Berlin. His message to his counterparts in Spain and Germany pushed the European Commission to be more active in the future security relationship between the UK and the EU. To date, the overall response of the Commission on Security has been that when you leave, you'll be a third country, Javid said. The Commission are not ambitious enough on the issue. He wants Brussels to recognize that security isn't a bargaining chip. It is something that the citizens of Europe would expect their leaders to prioritize. Switzerland, Johann Schneider Ammann, the Swiss Federal Council member, aka Economic Affairs Minister, resigned Tuesday, telling reporters that he wants to spend more time with his family. That won't make things easier, and they are already difficult. For the ongoing negotiations about a new framework agreement between Switzerland and the EU, Schneider Ammann was one of the members of the government pushing for a swift resolution. Switzerland is a petit paradise, appreciated and acknowledged around the globe, and where almost everyone has a job, Schneider Ammann wrote in his resignation letter. That others are amazed should always be our motivation to courageously seek renewal in stormy times. Britain is ready to pay a price for continued cooperation. Let's take the arrest warrant or Europol. We of course would abide by the rules of these instruments. Javid told Playbook, countering criticism that the British government would cherry-pick on security. He said there should be some sensible mechanism to allow for disputes to be resolved. But we accept that as they are EU instruments. And if we wish to take part in them, we of course must observe the EU rulebook for them. State of play, Swiss Parliament is still undecided about whether to insist on protecting its services market from EU competitors and risk a no-deal scenario, or be flexible about the EU's demands and risk alienating trade unions and right-wing parties alike. The clock is ticking, to borrow a phrase from Brexit negotiators. The important parts of the current relationship between Switzerland and the EU run only through the end of the year. Why shouldn't Britain be treated as a third country? The UK accepts that once it leaves the club, obviously things need to change. With the country losing its voting and decision-making rights in EU institutions, and potentially needing a separate legal footing for the continued relationship, Javid said, citing for example rules on sharing data. But, we don't accept that the relationship needs to be that of a third country, he insisted. Given the role that Britain has played to date, in European security being one of the countries that were shaping the original arrangements that we have today, given the contribution that the UK makes to security, we are clearly among the top three or top four contributors. Sweden, Sweden's Prime Minister, Stefan Löfven, lost a confidence vote in Parliament after the far-right Sweden Democrats backed the centre-right opposition alliance's bid to oust the Social Democrats. The newly elected Speaker of the Riksdag, Andreas Norlin from the Moderates, will lead talks toward forming the next government. The Moderates and their alliance partners, who won 143 seats in the 349-seat Riksdag in September versus 144 for Löfven's center-left bloc, have so far refused to countenance a formal coalition deal with the anti-immigrant Sweden Democrats, who took 62 seats, and helped to oust Löfven. Stephen Brown has the story. The British proposal is on the table, in its Chequers plan. The UK suggested negotiating a separate treaty on security cooperation that puts us on a proper legal footing, Javid said. While the British government is planning for all eventualities, including a no deal on security, whatever the fallbacks are, whether it's on an arrest warrant or data sharing, they're not going to be as good as the security relationships that we share today. Malta, the supervision of Malta's financial regulator over Pilatus Bank raises significant concerns but remained within the boundaries of EU law. The European Banking Authority said in a letter to MEPs after concluding a preliminary investigation into the actions of the Maltese Financial Services Authority. Bark Smith Meyer has more for Politico Financial Services Pros. Warning, I don't think anyone wants to be in a situation where there was no deal on security. Let's say, God forbid, there's a terrorist attack on European soil somewhere. It could be Britain, it could be somewhere in the EU. And if people, if the public, then knew that that could have been stopped if only the politicians had put common sense and the people before bureaucracy and red tape, then I think that no politician wants to be in that situation. You're invited. Join us on November 26th in Brussels at Politico's event Disruptive Innovation in Society, a Balancing Act, presented by Edno. The event will convene a high-level panel discussion to assess the disruptive effect of new technologies and discuss how this disruption can be turned into opportunities for society at large. Register today. Issues of transparency. His message to governments: if we can't agree on the future economic partnership or the Irish border, let's work on something we can agree on, security. The clock is ticking, but I think we do have time to agree on the fundamentals and first of all on the principle that we want to continue cooperation, Javid said. Secondly, that should be in the formal treaty that provides a proper legal basis for the cooperation. And thirdly, I think such agreement should name the products, the structures that we want to continue cooperating on. A plea for others, transparency. The Council is making huge efforts to hide how consensus was reached on this or that issue. It is thereby undermining the foundations of European democracy, MEP Yana Toom writes in Totel Playbook, explaining why Parliament is up for a proper fight with its co-legislator. Last week, European media were filled with news about how political groups and individual members voted on the controversial copyright directive. The position of every single MEP has been clear, from the very beginning at committee level to the plenary stage. Yet, it is not clear how decisions in council have been made, in particular at Corpor. Will that be hard to sell in the UK after Salzburg? No, he said. In Britain, all political parties, all commentators, whether they voted leave, whether they voted remain, they're all totally united on this, because it's not controversial to say that we should share information in an age when terrorist criminals don't recognize borders. It's just common sense, and that's why it thankfully hasn't been impacted by other discussions around the negotiation process. Reality check. The then Brexit Secretary David Davis tried that exact line of attack in a speech in June, arguing that terrorists don't check the passports of their victims before carrying out their attacks. While we can't fault that logic, it didn't do any good then. The EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier effectively told him to stop blaming the EU for the consequences of quitting the Union, and it's unlikely to do Javid any good now. Power struggle, Toom. A Liberal MEP from Estonia wants to change that, penning with Joe Linen from the S&D a report on improving the transparency of the Council. The Council is a European institution just as Commission and Parliament are. And the government representatives sitting there receive a mandate from the voters. However, any monitoring of how this mandate is actually implemented is reliably covered by a conspiracy of silence, she argues. The Council imagines itself to be a diplomatic body and simply ignores calls for more transparent decision-making. Transparency? Not for MEPs. Parliament is under no obligation to disclose how its elected representatives spend the expense allowances they receive on top of their salaries, the General Court of the ECJ ruled. The verdict will allow Parliament to continue to refuse to disclose how MEPs spend a controversial allowance of €4,416 per month, known as the General Expenditure Allowance. Maya de la Baum has the write-up. Over and out. Birthdays: Michal Maruzik MEP, former MEP Tash Berman, Eubelius Hans Planck, French government's Chantal Hughes, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, Karen Masson, CEO of Burson Cohn & Wolf, and Nick Lunt, the firm's MD for communications. Politico and Latempe's third annual healthcare summit, presented by IFPMA, Ferring Pharmaceuticals, Roche, and Campus Biotech, with our networking partner BGI, is just around the corner, October 8th and 9th in Geneva. Register now for one of the last available slots. Book today and meet with the key drivers of change in healthcare, such as World Health Organization's Deputy Director General for Programs Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, European Medicines Agency, EMA's Executive Director Professor Guido Rossi, and the Argentine Republic's Permanent Representative to the United Nations Office in Geneva, Ambassador Carlos Foridori. Anniversary: German Konrad Adenauer Stiftung celebrated 40 years in Brussels at the Cercle Royal Gaulois on Tuesday. Today's business. Awarded: NATO Deputy Secretary General Rose Gotte Miller will receive Georgetown University's International Trailblazer Award. Thanks: Andrew Gray, Michal Broniachowski, James Randerson, Daniel Lippmann. Dombrovskis call for green finance. Commission Vice President Valdis Dombrovskis tonight is set to make a plea to the financial sector and savers to help reach the Paris climate goals. The time to act against climate change is now, and Europe is determined to lead this fight, he told Playbook ahead of his speech at the One Planet Summit tonight, Brussels time, in New York. We have already cut our carbon emissions by over 22%. On the way towards our target of a 40% cut by 2030. And we will stand by our Paris Agreement targets, no matter what. No matter what? The Commission proposed creating an EU-wide definition of what is green and stricter requirements for financial companies to disclose how environmentally friendly their investments are. The proposals fell flat, proving to be too much to swallow for conservative governments. And that's before the Commission even started trying to answer the question that could divide France and Germany: is nuclear green? A message from Banco Santander. Santander Polska was the first bank in Poland to implement a comprehensive barrier-free banking program aimed at people who face potential financial and social exclusion due to disability. The program's aim is to enable people with a variety of disabilities to conveniently access bank products through all available channels. The project includes the introduction of features such as ATMs adapted to the needs of the blind and visually impaired, bank advertisements designed to reach the disabled, and a customer service channel in sign language. See more here. For Santander, a successful business is one that recognizes it has a responsibility not only to its employees, customers, shareholders, but to the wider community. Responsible banking is a priority for Santander in its activities globally. We are proud to be part of the UN Environmental Programme Financial Initiative on Principles for Responsible Banking. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family: Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, EU Confidential, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy morning newsletters. Rest of #UNGO: British Prime Minister Theresa May will speak toward the end of today's morning session at the United Nations General Assembly, followed by a meeting with Donald Trump. Ahead of that meeting, our transatlantic reporting team of Annabelle Dixon, Doug Palmer and Jacob Hank report that Trump's trade demands are only adding to May's Brexit woes. Trump, meanwhile, delivered his speech on Tuesday, But the reaction from world leaders wasn't quite what he was expecting. And it turns out Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg's got game, HT Mathias Lufkens. Here's today's schedule for the UN summit and the live stream. Who's in charge of the EU's foreign policy again? Compare these two press releases for yourself. High Representative Vice President Federica Mogherini met together with President Juncker, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and African Union Commission Chairperson Moussa Faki Mahamat, the External Action Service said. The European Commission's write-up of the same meeting. The chairperson of the African Union Commission Moussa Faki Mahamat, the President of the European Commission Jean-Claude Juncker and the Secretary-General of the United Nations Antonio Guterres met. They were accompanied by senior officials from the three organizations, including Vice President/High Representative Federica Mogherini. Ties in to meet with Ryanair chief as more strikes threaten travel plans. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary will this morning meet with Employment Commissioner Marianne Tyson. The meeting was scheduled at O'Leary's request and comes after the Irish budget carrier announced 190 flight cancellations for Friday due to cabin crew and pilot strikes. According to the company, some 30,000 passengers in Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, Portugal, Italy and Germany will be affected. BTW, there's a battle raging between EU officials, diplomats and other inhabitants of planet Schumann about whose version of a much-whispered-about story is correct. It seems both the Secretary-General of the European External Action Service Helga Schmidt and her homologue, the Commission's Martin Selmayr, both Germans, want to become the EU's first ambassador to post-Brexit Britain. Both had their institutions' spokespeople deny they were harboring any such ambitions. But here's the kernel of truth that's firing up the rumor mill. The EU is going to expand its diplomatic mission on Brexit Day, Jacopo Barghazi reports. News update. France, the French center-right wants Michel Barnier to be its main man in the European election. Barnier is thinking about running to be the conservative Spitzenkandidat, said a senior official from Les Républicains, confirming that an approach has been made by the party to the EU's Brexit negotiator. News of an approach was first reported by La Pointe. The party has offered him to be the Spitzenkandidat for the EPP, the official added. Zachary Young and Maya de la Baume report. Spain, via France, former French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has announced he wants to become the mayor of Barcelona. Diego Torres considers his chances. Poland, Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki reacted to the Commission's decision to refer Poland to the ECJ over its Supreme Court law, telling a press conference, "We are constantly in dialogue. But as you can see, the Commission decided to take a step that breaks this dialogue to some extent. Or maybe it breaks it off seriously. How can the Dutch, Belgians, French, or West Germans understand what communism and then post-communism were if they did not experience it? Not going to make Warsaw happy either." Ukrainian human rights activist Lyudmila Kozlovska is now in Brussels and will at 11:30 a.m. today speak in the European Parliament at an open Audi session. Our man in Poland Michał Broniczowski writes in to tell us. Kozlovska was issued a long-term visa by the Belgian government after a request by Audi chief Guy Verhofstadt and the Greens' Rebecca Harms. Kozlovska was in August expelled from the Schengen zone following a request from the Polish government. Earlier this month, she testified in the Bundestag after Germany gave her a two-week visa. Italy, Riccardo Puglisi, associate professor of economics at the University of Pavia, argues in an op-ed for Politico that it's almost impossible for the Italian populist coalition to deliver on its campaign pledges without falling foul of EU rules on public spending. Switzerland, Johann Schneider-Ammann, the Swiss Federal Council member, aka Economic Affairs Minister, resigned Tuesday, telling reporters that he wants to spend more time with his family. That won't make things easier, and they are already difficult. For the ongoing negotiations about a new framework agreement between Switzerland and the EU, Shinaida Rahman was one of the members of the government pushing for a swift resolution. Switzerland is a petty paradise, appreciated and acknowledged around the globe. And where almost everyone has a job, Shinaida Rahman wrote in his resignation letter. That others are amazed should always be our motivation to courageously seek renewal in stormy times. State of play, Swiss Parliament is still undecided about whether to insist on protecting its services market from EU competitors and risk a no-deal scenario. Or be flexible about the EU's demands and risk alienating trade unions and right-wing parties alike. The clock is ticking, to borrow a phrase from Brexit negotiators. The important parts of the current relationship between Switzerland and the EU run only through the end of the year. Sweden, Sweden's Prime Minister, Stefan Löfven, lost a confidence vote in Parliament after the far-right Sweden Democrats backed the centre-right opposition alliance's bid to oust the Social Democrats. The newly elected Speaker of the Riksdag, Andreas Norlund from the Moderates, will lead talks toward forming the next government. The Moderates and their alliance partners, who won 143 seats in the 349-seat Riksdag in September versus 144 for Löfven's centre-left bloc, have so far refused to countenance a formal coalition deal with the anti-immigrant Sweden Democrats, who took 62 seats, and helped to oust Löfven. Stephen Brown has the story. Malta. The supervision of Malta's financial regulator over Pilatus Bank raises significant concerns but remained within the boundaries of EU law. The European Banking Authority said in a letter to MEPs after concluding a preliminary investigation into the actions of the Maltese Financial Services Authority. Bark Smith Meyer has more for Politico Financial Services Pros. You're invited. Join us on November 26 in Brussels at Politico's event Disruptive Innovation in Society, a Balancing Act, presented by Aetna. The event will convene a high-level panel discussion to assess the disruptive effect of new technologies and discuss how this disruption can be turned into opportunities for society at large. Register today. Issues of transparency. A plea for others, transparency. The Council is making huge efforts to hide how consensus was reached on this or that issue. It is thereby undermining the foundations of European democracy. MEP Yana Toom writes in Totel Playbook, explaining why Parliament is up for a proper fight with its co-legislator. Last week, European media were filled with news about how political groups and individual members voted on the controversial copyright directive. The position of every single MEP has been clear. From the very beginning at committee level to the plenary stage. Yet, it is not clear how decisions in council have been made, in particular at Corpor. Power struggle, Toom, a Liberal MEP from Estonia, wants to change that, penning with Joe Linen from the S&D a report on improving the transparency of the council. The council is a European institution just as Commission and Parliament are. And the government representatives sitting there receive a mandate from the voters. However, any monitoring of how this mandate is actually implemented is reliably covered by a conspiracy of silence, she argues. The council imagines itself to be a diplomatic body and simply ignores calls for more transparent decision-making. Transparency? Not for MEPs. Parliament is under no obligation to disclose how its elected representatives spend the expense allowances they receive on top of their salaries, the General Court of the ECJ ruled. The verdict will allow Parliament to continue to refuse to disclose how MEPs spend a controversial allowance of €4,416 per month, known as the General Expenditure Allowance. Maya de la Baum has the write-up. Over and out. Birthdays, Michal Maruzik MEP, former MEP Tash Berman, Eubelius Hans Planck, French government's Chantal Hughes, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, Karen Masson, CEO of Burson Conan Wolf, and Nick Lund, the firm's MD for communications. Anniversary, German Konrad Adenauer Stiftung celebrated 40 years in Brussels at the Cercle Royal Gaulois on Tuesday. Awarded. NATO Deputy Secretary General Rose Gottemiller will receive Georgetown University's International Trailblazer Award. Thanks, Andrew Gray, Michal Broniachowski, James Randerson, Daniel Lippmann. A message from Banco Santander. Santander Polska was the first bank in Poland to implement a comprehensive barrier-free banking program aimed at people who face potential financial and social exclusion due to disability. The program's aim is to enable people with a variety of disabilities to conveniently access bank products through all available channels. The project includes the introduction of features such as ATMs adapted to the needs of the blind and visually impaired, bank advertisements designed to reach the disabled, and a customer service channel in sign language. See more here. For Santander, a successful business is one that recognizes it has a responsibility not only to its employees, customers, shareholders, but to the wider community. Responsible banking is a priority for Santander in its activities globally. We are proud to be part of the UN Environmental Programme Financial Initiative on Principles for Responsible Banking. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family, Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, EU Confidential, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy Morning Newsletters.